In my previous series of podcasts, I've been having conversations on why and how people take conscious breaks from work. There are many reasons why people take breaks, and one of those reasons is burnout. I suspect that I might also have been approaching burnout before I took my conscious sabbatical, although I never really got there. But I was juggling a lot of things, all of my own doing, and some days it could be quite overwhelming. In the next two episodes of Unchange, I'm diving deeper into what causes burnouts and how it might be prevented and managed. Today in the studio, I have Shannon Royden-Turner, who is a burnout coach. Welcome in the studio, Shannon.
Thank you, Petra.
Please briefly introduce yourself.
Awesome. Thank you. I work as a burnout coach and really focusing on building resilient leadership. So mostly in the mining, energy and development sector, particularly because those are quite highly volatile environments that where the stakes are really high. And so burnout is more common in those areas. So it's really working with CEOs and top executive teams. And it's about how do we deliver ambitious growth targets without getting burnout? Yeah, I mean, it's been a very winding journey to get here.
Okay.
It's been awesome.
So like I said in my previous series of podcasts that I've made, I was interviewing people who've taken breaks from work, and these people specifically needed to take breaks, and some of them because of burnout. But your focus is very, very different. You don't want people necessarily to take breaks, but we'll get into that a bit later. So what, in your definition, is burnout?
I mean, burnout is, you know, it's not just stress. There's a kind of a grading that happens to somebody over time. You know, we all live with the basic level of stress, which I have actually finally gotten rid of for myself. And then we get more chronic stress. It's more persistent and people start to have a greater sense of kind of frustration and helplessness. And then we get to burnout. And that's more where people actually just feel, you know, emotionally, physically and mentally exhausted. And they start to kind of disengage from work and from life. So you can kind of be in a social situation, but you feel completely disconnected from everybody, even though and isolated, even though you're with people, you know. And so that's more where you start to get quite severe fatigue, often feelings of inadequacy. You don't feel like you're actually performing in the way that you should, and you're constantly getting that feedback. And then you also start to get more physical symptoms, you know, a lot of tension, sleeping becomes more difficult. And then you move into the more chronic phases of that and you get kind of habitual burnout, which is a much more chronic state of burnout, where you just feel completely trapped in your situation. And, you know, things that you used to love doing, you just can't get yourself kind of in it anymore. And you start to numb down your feelings. And that's a critical piece where you just start to literally shut down and then you start getting more health issues. And then finally, you hit a crisis stage where it's just total shutdown. And that's more where you start to get severe anxiety, depression, and health complications. A lot of the autoimmune conditions come in at that point.
I think you've given me a lot of the like early warning signs of if you might be approaching burnouts in that answer as well. But is there anything else people should be looking out for if they think they or suspect that they might be approaching burnout?
Yeah, you know, to simplify it, I've put it into three key things that you need to look for. And it's, you become very scattered in your focus. You know, you can know there's moments in your life and in your work where you are super razor focused and you're just like on a mission and you're in it and you can do it and you know. And then there's times where it just becomes completely scattered. So looking for where your focus is completely scattered, you kind of don't really know where you're supposed to be looking or what you're supposed to be working on. It just feels like, and no matter what you touch, it just feels like you're wheel spinning.
Mm.
And then the second one is just depleted energy. Basically, you have no internal source of energy anymore. And then the final one is, you know, that you withdraw connection. And that's from other people, but also from yourself. Like you lose your sense of self. Who am I? Like, what am I actually doing? You know, you start asking those kind of questions. So those are really the three kind of core categories. So scattered focus, depleted energy, and withdrawn connection.
So who do you think, I don't want to use the word blame necessarily, you know, who's to blame for burnout, but what do you think contributes most to burnout? Do you think employees or people or CEOs might just put too much pressure on themselves, or do you think that the company culture also plays a part in the lead up to burnout?
You know, like you just said, I prefer not to use the term blame because I think it's something bigger than either the CEOs or the employees or even the company culture or self. I think that we have a very incomplete model of human behavior that has defined how we understand ourselves and how we build organizations. And because of that, we have burnout, because once you understand the real causes of burnout and stress, the root causes, then, and we'll get to that somewhere along here where I can go into that a little bit more in detail. And essentially, it comes down to our model of how we understand ourselves as conscious and how we understand consciousness itself. So if you, a lot of kind of neuroscience understands consciousness to be something that emerges out of the brain. And so at some point in science, we kind of separated consciousness, spirit, whatever label you want to put on it, theology, meaning, purpose. We separated that out of science. And then we had only the logic and the rational and the reason, right? As soon as we separate those and we have only the logic and the reason and the external world in the way that we design our organizational, our performance systems, our leadership, everything is based on very much kind of the external world and much less on the internal world. And it's interesting because we even call it hard science and soft science. But actually what we know now is that consciousness is fundamental to all reality. And everything that is material in our world emerges out of that consciousness. So everything we see is conscious. And that radically changes our model of human behavior. And so now we have the integration of science and spirituality, or science and consciousness. And that really changes the way we understand how we get people to perform. It changes the way that we understand wellness and well-being in the body. And it changes how we deal with stress. It changes everything basically about how we organize people. Mm-hmm. So it's not to blame, but all of those things need to change. But it's also not even big change. It doesn't require big restructurings or any of the kind of stuff that people do. It's like, it's really, really quick. It's really, really quick. to wake someone up to what's purposeful and meaningful to them, and then they don't burn out.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really interesting. We can get into that whole, your whole theory around how do we fix burnout quickly. But I was doing a little bit of reading around burnouts and what might cause it and what might be the root causes. And you said we can get into that. Let's get into that now. So if we look at, you know, for instance, employees, you know, and the pressure they put on themselves, you know, there's so many things that they might be doing to themselves, like they're trying to please other people. They have perfectionism. You know, they have a problem with boundaries, saying no, you know, that sort of thing. They might have some self-limiting beliefs or just not looking after themselves properly. And I think in a lot of cases, also people try to live a life that other people think they should be leading, which is not the one that they actually want to lead. So if you think of it from a personal perspective, any of those reasons might be to blame. And if you think of company culture, there's also, especially in the sector that you're in, because that's the sector I come from as well, there's a huge amount of pressure on delivering increased production every year. Even though the resource might be depleting, we still want more out of it. That might put a lot of pressure on people who are trying to deliver something that's just physically not possible to deliver. So I don't know, have I covered some of it, or is there anything else you've seen as root causes for burnout?
I mean, you've covered some of it, but I'll go a little bit more deeply into the kind of human behavior and the science of it, I guess. So often we think, you know, it's the workload, or it's the pressure on us, or it's our desire to be perfectionist. And there's an element of that, but that's not actually the thing that makes us burn out, right? One of the things and why we scattered focus, and you said it perfectly, is we try to live up to other people or what other people think we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that every single individual has a unique purpose, mission, set of values and priorities that they live their life by. And this happens regardless of whether they're conscious of it or not. So our unconscious decision making will still drive towards our own personal purpose, whether we know it or not, because every single thing in our life, every decision we ever make is towards what's going to get us more benefits than drawbacks in what is most meaningful to us as an individual. So when we recognize that and understand it, we delegate differently, because then it's about trying to understand what each person's unique contribution is and how do we match the challenges and the job tasks to that. So one of the causes of, we spoke about scattered focus, right? You're going to get a scattered focus when you're trying to live in other people's values rather than your own. That's the thing that's going to scatter you. So you're trying to please that one and please that one rather than being integral to what you are here to do, because that's the root of your highest level of performance. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an overwhelm of workload. It's an overwhelm of challenges that don't inspire you. And you coined it actually perfectly in our first conversation that we had. If I don't know if you remember, you said you kept getting tasks that you didn't want to do. You just kept getting pushed to do stuff. You actually really wanted to be working with people. Mm-hmm. And so within your environment that you were in, if this was better understood, you could have redirected your career within that to be the place where you would hit your highest level of performance. But instead, you kept getting challenges that you didn't want to solve. Because we can never escape challenges, right? We live in a world where we think we're supposed to be supported without being challenged. So we try and avoid the challenge and want the support and the validation. But when we're on purpose and when we're on our mission, we don't look for outside validation. We don't need reward and recognition to keep us going because we intrinsically inspired to do it. Mm-hmm. So we don't need motivation. We don't need micromanagement. We're totally self-governed. We're reliable. We're disciplined. We're focused. And so it's about being able to embrace challenges that inspire you. And that's where you suddenly come into razor sharp focus. And so that's about getting alignment between an individual's values, the job tasks that they're doing, and the company that they're working for. As soon as you have that alignment, you're going to get maximum performance, maximum well-being, and maximum governance from people.
You're not always going to have all of that in one job. You're always going to have little bits. Maybe a big portion of it might be aligning to your values, but there's always going to be stuff that you hate doing. But I love what you're saying. You know, I love that if you can find a job that aligns with your personal values and which excites you to get out of bed every morning, I mean, that's the golden ticket. I mean, that's what you would really, really like to do, you know.
Yeah, you're always going to have things that you don't necessarily want to do or that are not that inspiring to you. And for that, there's a process to go, well, how does this actually help me achieve what is most inspiring to me?
Okay.
So say I've got a business, managing finance and admin, business admin is like my worst. I'm absolutely useless at that. I just want to deliver, right? But if I don't do that, I'm not going to have a business and I'm not going to be able to have the impact and I'm not going to be able to deliver anything. So I have to keep asking, how does it serve me? How does it benefit me to do those tasks that are not, I don't wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I can't wait to do that, you know, but I need to do it because otherwise I'm going to have a failed business and I'm not going to be able to deliver my purpose. So I find the benefits of that so that it's more inspiring, because the mind just, it's about perceptions, right? And as soon as the mind can perceive a connection, then it wakes up a different aspect of me and I stop operating out of my like primitive mind and I kick back into my executive center, which is visionary, strategic, and I can solve problems really quickly. And then the other one is really around the depleted energy is about an inability to adapt to change. And that's essentially the root cause of stress. So the definition of stress is, you're going to get stressed when you perceive that you're gaining something that you don't want or you're losing something that you do want. So it's our most primitive biological predator-prey response. So if I'm losing my job, I'm obviously going to see a massive negative side to my life suddenly, right? But the truth is, if I look back in years to come, I go, oh my God, it was so perfect that I actually lost that job at that particular time because something else came, whatever the next life moment was, that actually had a whole bunch of positives. So often we see it in retrospect, we're able to see the balance of positives and negatives to everything that happens to us. The ability to really cope with stress and adapt to change is the ability to see positives and negatives, support and challenge, gain and loss in equal balance. And then you get rid of stress. So that's dealing with the root cause of it.
So yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. So your approach is to get specifically senior executives back to work as soon as possible after they've burned out. So what is it that you do? I mean, what is your process and what is it founded on?
So the reason that I focus on, I mean, is to, if you completely burnt out and you're on sabbatical, then 100%, it's the first part of getting you back to work is really figuring out what your purpose is, what your values are, what your mission is in life. And if that job is actually aligned with what you would love to do most, then getting you back to work is your pathway of healing. Because as soon as we're doing what we love, we waken up the part of us that is wellness, right? That is performance. So the faster that somebody can be doing that, if you take that away from somebody, they will decay. Because when we don't have purpose in our lives, we have disease, we have decay, we have, you know, we don't know what to do with ourselves. So the first step is really to determine, is this the pathway of your greatest mission in life? If it is, it's how do we get you back there as fast as possible and identify what of these root causes were playing out that had you collapse and then deal with those. And often it's just, you know, like the one person who was completely in chronic burnout and had a degenerative autoimmune condition. When we went in and looked, it was really just how tasks were being delegated from the director. And then there had been a whole lot of stresses that happened. His mother had dementia. He moved home. His wife's job, you know, got lost. And so there were a whole lot of stresses that he was struggling to adapt to. So as soon as we could look at, you know, how do we delegate differently so that you can do what you love? Because he loved his job, but he was just being pushed to do commercial business development when actually what he wanted to do and what he was really freaking amazing at was something completely different. And so as soon as we got all the directors to figure out what their individual mission was and align their job task with that, the whole organization literally doubled in revenue in a year because suddenly everybody was actually focused on that thing that they love doing and they automatically do it.
Yeah.
And you take out the stress.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a focus on getting people back to work if it is in alignment.
And if it's not?
Then figuring out what is, and that's, you know, it's doing it. It doesn't have to take months and years and years and years to figure that out. Your life demonstrates what is most meaningful and purposeful. It's not some abstract concept, because the reality of what our life demonstrates is our purpose. It's like, where do you spend your money? That's always a good one, right? You can see what you always say yes to. You always have available money to. And there's other things that you just say no to. And people are like, but you do have money. And you're saying, it's like, it's just not that important. Or, you know, what lights you up with energy? Because sometimes at work, you can do something in the day. And by the end of the day, you feel alive. You haven't even noticed where the time has gone. And other things you have to do, it's like a slog through the day. And by the end of it, you feel absolutely exhausted. These are all feedback mechanisms that are telling you where to focus, where you actually need to focus. And so slowly, as you learn to use those feedback mechanisms, you can start to direct your life more and more into doing what is most meaningful to you. And it's not because this is some fanciful idea. It's like, this is where we perform. This is where we lead. This is where we originate. This is where we solve problems. This is where we don't have disease in our body. It's not like, cute, let's figure out your purpose. It's like, this is the most fundamental thing of being a human. And when we misaligned, we burn out.
Mm. once you've worked with somebody to pull them back from burnout and figure out their purpose and to align their job more with what gives them energy, is there some long-term strategies that you can give to people to cope with burnout or to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah. So obviously I was speaking about the feedbacks. So the one is around getting your focus. So that's the purpose part, getting purpose aligned, delegating in accordance with that. And then the depleted energy is when you're not able to adapt to change, that's going to deplete your energy. And for that, we've got to constantly be looking for how to equilibrate our mind, how to bring our mind into balance. So where we see challenge, we got to find support. Where we see something as a gain, we got to find a loss. We've got to keep finding the positives and negatives in everything that's happened and bring them to balance, because that's a way that we start to manage our own mind. Because when our mind goes out of balance, we basically shift into an animal mode, which is the fight and flight. We want to run away from something, because the reason we want to run away from it is because we're seeing more negatives than positives in what's most important to us. So we want to escape it because we feel like we're going to be preyed on. And then the opposite is true also. We might see more positives than negatives. We want to move towards it. So these are impulse and instinct responses and reactions. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're emotional and we're volatile and we don't make long-term strategic decisions. We don't even have access to our strategic mind in that moment. So literally being able to keep your mind balanced by seeing if you're feeling highly challenged by somebody, you've got to find where the equal and opposite support is. Bring your mind back into balance. You shift from being in your amygdala at the back here into your prefrontal cortex, which is it's called your executive center, right? So as an executive, you kind of want to be able to work in that space, because this is the mind that is visionary, strategic, problem solving, innovative, self-governed. It's not highly emotional and reactive. So we can use our emotions, our amazing feedback, to tell us where we're imbalanced, because that's the source of all emotion. You're going to have an emotional reaction to something when you perceive more positives than negatives. You're going to be elated. Or if you perceive more negatives than positives of what's happening to you, you're going to be depressed or you're going to feel negative. So you've got to bring those into balance and learn how to do that. So emotions are one level of feedback that tell us when our mind goes out of balance, basically when we start to behave more like an animal than like an executive. And then the other one is, so it's really around feedback and how we get information from the world about ourselves. Our reality on the outside is always going to be mirroring back what's true for us inside. Because, you know, whatever decisions we make is going to result in a set of results in our life, right? And those are going to tell us the truth of what's important to us. So, for example, if you're in a room and you say to everybody, who here really values financial independence or wealth building? Everyone puts up their hand, right? And then you say, okay, how many of you have actually got financial independence? No one puts up their hand. So the truth is, you know, very few. You'll get like 2%, 1% who actually put up their hand and say, yeah, I have financial independence, right? So the truth is they don't value financial wealth building. Otherwise, there would be demonstration in their life that that is true. So you're looking for what is your life demonstrating to be true. And that's another level of feedback that you're looking for, so that you're constantly directing your life towards that mission. And everything, whether it's your internal voice, people on the outside, are going to be constantly giving you feedback and information that you can use to keep yourself in balance and to keep yourself on purpose. That's the reason that you get that information back, so that you can stay on your mission.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Gives you the endurance
to keep going. Yeah. And I think I've met some of those animal executives you've spoken about. I think I've met some of them before.
100%.
So we've sort of gone through what is the definition of burnouts. We've looked at some of the signs that somebody might be burned out and some of the root causes, and also how to help people to get back and to align them to their purpose and to what actually gives them energy to get out of bed every morning. So is there anything else you would like to mention that we haven't discussed yet?
One of the main things is really, how do we reframe this whole thing of burnout? That it's not a weakness, it's a feedback loop. It's just feedback of information. If your energy is depleted, it's telling you that you're not doing things in your day that are aligned with your purpose and your mission. That there's a way to be able to adapt to the change. And because when you're on your mission, you're adaptable to change. You're much more resilient and adaptable because what happens is you're operating out of your executive center when you're on your purpose, right? Because this thing lasts, this part of your brain is used. And that part of your brain is more objective, and it can automatically see benefits and drawbacks much quicker than this part of your brain. So burnout is not a weakness. It's a feedback loop to say you're not aligned. And that alignment is really, really quick to get back. It's really quick. Like, it can take 2 days, literally 2 days, you'll be back on your mission. And you can decide whether that job is something you want or don't want. And if it's something you want, get back in there and get it aligned.
I'd like to ask you a question that wasn't part of the pre-questions, because I do like to sort of have an idea of what we're going to talk about. But why did you get so interested in helping people with burnouts? I mean, what is your sort of backstory on why you want to help people to overcome this or to get back onto their mission?
Awesome. I've had to dig through my entire life to try and figure out what, you know, all of the challenges are that happened to me and what the reason, what was the purpose of all of those life events, because your life is the story of your purpose. Every trauma, every challenge that you've ever been through is something that is awakening in you a desire to make a difference. And so when I went back and looked at, you know, when I was 10, my father was killed in a car accident. And it was, because it was a car accident, it was obviously very sudden. And it happened at Easter time. And at that beginning of the year, my older sister and my two younger brothers had all gone to boarding school. So we lived on a farm in Greaton, in the middle of nowhere. And literally one day we woke up and my mom and I was 10. My mom and I woke up and we were like on the farm on our own. And she's like, hello, world. This is interesting. And it was a very complex operation because it was sugar, wattle, pine, gum, avos, oranges, nachis. And there were like 800 people living on the farm. And it was the two of us like, oh, hello. It had a huge impact on my mom. And I watched her burn out. I watched her go into depression. And interestingly, I've done work with her over the last year, which has just been the most beautiful journey to help her make sense of her own life. And one of the things she said, because she went into severe depression and suicide. And it was so interesting because she said the reason that that happened was we got my uncle to come and live on the farm. And we moved into town because everybody said it was too dangerous for us to be living there. And suddenly she had no purpose. And she was like, well, what am I going to do? And that for her was like, I may as well not be living. So I guess that really woke in me two parts around how do we build leaders who are able to deal with that level of disruption and be able to adapt to change without burning out, without going into depression, because the impact is huge. And I was bearing the impact. My little 10-year-old mind was like, the only way I'm out of here is if this woman keeps... basically keeps her shit together. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. And so, yeah, I guess that kind of awoken me a massive drive to deal with leadership and to, you know, in high stakes environment, because the stakes were high, right? We had like 800 people that we had to feed every day. And so that was the beginning of it. And then long journey through all kinds of different, but basically working on mega projects and unlocking investment into mega projects. And I realized that the reason we never get these projects off the ground is that people don't understand why they make decisions. So anytime we try and get people to do something different, they revert to business as usual, because a lot of us don't actually have the awareness of why we say yes to something and no to something. And when it gets risky, we revert to what we know. And so I started looking at how do we deal with decision making and conflict, because that seemed to be the thing that was keeping everybody from being able to unlock these investments. And through that, I started studying human behavior and then got into more leadership and executive coaching. And then 2 years ago was another major shift in my journey, where my husband literally over the period of a week lost all the feeling in his arms and legs and couldn't get up a flight of stairs. But I mean, the weekend before, he was riding his mountain bike. So it was like, boom, what just happened? And that really took us kind of through a whole massive journey. But he was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition that's degenerative and doesn't have a cure. And I've been studying human behavior for 20 years, and I know that that's not true. I know that there are limitations to the medical understanding because of what I was saying earlier, mm-hmm. because we don't understand consciousness. So any medical condition that has that involved is, they don't know what the cause of it is. So they don't even try and deal with the cause. They can deal with the symptoms. Oh, you have no feeling in your legs and arms. We can deal with that. And so the cure for it was literally a lifetime of going into hospital every 2 weeks and getting a drip. And probably would never be able to work at his career capacity again. So he's a director in an architecture practice that's on a rapid growth mission. So I started working with him, and you know, the first thing was to get him back to work because I know that he absolutely loves his work. And so getting him back to work, dealing with the delegation. So, you know, I've been working in his organization for the last year, just restructuring all of the kind of higher level stuff. So within 1 month, he was back at work. And then he started doing the more of the kind of rapid energy reset using the actuality methodology that I use. And literally within 1 month, he was back at work, back on his mountain bike, completely cured a year and a half later, still has had no symptoms. And this was something that was completely incurable. And he's never been back to hospital. It wasn't the medication, because the medication doesn't cure. It's just a management system. Yeah, that was the start of really focusing in on burnout, because I was like, hold on. You know, people get put on a sabbatical and kind of lose the rest of their career, when actually there's a completely different, we just have a missing piece out of the way that we're doing this. And it's totally possible to get somebody back into wellness. That's not even a question in my mind. Yeah, so that's when I started putting together, I was like, hold on, where there's a different way here. And I think this is extremely useful to people who don't want to lose their careers, you know, and don't even have to. And because of the stigma, people with this methodology, no one even needs to know, because it can be solved so quickly that it's not, don't have to deal with any of the stigma. So it's just really, really inspiring to be able to support people that I wasn't able to support with my mom all those years ago.
Thank you so much for sharing your backstory. I mean, I think it just gives so much more background and depth to why you're so passionate about helping people with burnouts. And thanks for sharing all of your knowledge about burnout as well, and everything that you can do to get yourself more aligned. So where can people find out more about you and the services that you offer?
So the best place to go is really LinkedIn. If you just Google my name, my LinkedIn handle will come up. Shannon Royden Turner, and yeah, you'll see there's a bunch of information and resources that you can access there via all the posts, and just reach out to me in the DMs is the easiest way. And I would love to hear from anybody. I mean, questions or anything that people would like to know more about.
Super. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. It's been absolutely fantastic speaking to you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. What a gift to be able to share with your audience. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.